KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
Let's do it!
Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Well, hello there. Getting the lead out. Rocking into the 5 o'clock hour on a Thursday. Another big weekend is approaching. College basketball extravaganza. We've got ESPN in town called the Duck Game. ESPNU with Roxy Bernstein, FOP, friend of the program. And Adrian Branch, hell of a player at Maryland back in the 80s. Will be alongside him, 8 o'clock tip-off, as far as that whole radio thing, which we occasionally engage in. We're with you until 6 o'clock. We're back at 7 with our Jerry's Home Improvement Center pregame show, leading into the coverage of, let's get it right this time, Nick, let's get it right this time, the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
I gotta.
Isn't it amazing that I still have to cheat?
Yes, it is. It's a testament to you. Of all the things that you can't learn, it's like six letters or six words.
It's a whole six words.
What we need to do is print it out and laminate it and put it on something so it's always kind of facing you and not under like 19 pieces of paper and 5 magazines from 2015.
what magazines do I have here, by the way? Oh. I've got the NBA Preview Sports Illustrated.
Topical.
I've got the greatest story in college football from December, Joe Burrow.
Topical.
And I've got Cutting Edge with Nick Bosa rushing Kyle Murray from the double issue in November.
Topical.
Not really that current. But anyway, gang, we've got much to get to. We've got NBA on the brain. We've got Pac-12. We've got a couple of really humorous moments on Twitter today. We are here to entertain and enjoy ourselves. This is an awesome time of year. I guess one day I'm going to do a breakdown. To me, my favorite time of year will always be as September comes along, because you get pennant fever. It's the last 4 weeks of MLB. College football starts. It's still summer. The NFL starts. It's a great overlap. You know, you get into October. It's just awesome. You know, March Madness, as if you pay attention during March Madness, especially when CBS takes over, you know, all of a sudden it's like the first promo. Hello, friends, and you see the Magnolias and the Masters coming, and which means baseball season is coming, which means the NHL Stanley Cup chase and NBA playoffs are coming. That's a really good time of year, as is this, where, you know, the biggest event in American sports, the Super Bowl, is pending, and it's a lot to be excited about. You have the two best teams. I know Baltimore was the one seed, but nobody's playing better than KC and Frisco right now, so that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, we're into the teeth of conference play. I mean, in 4 weeks, we're only going to be a couple weeks away, 1 week away in the case of the women, of the start of the conference tournaments. And then you get into championship week, and the next thing you know, it is Selection Sunday. And then by, you know, as the tournament moves along, like I said, all those magnificent things. This is a great time of year to do a show like this and be a sports fan, and we're going to revel in all of it. If you want in, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. Our Twitter connection for the station at SportsTalk 953 for yours truly and this particular radio program at SportsTalk 953.
Nope. That's a dollar.
At SportsTalk 953.
Yeah, but you said that about the station as well.
No. Oh, did I say
them
both?
You said them both. You said both exactly the same.
Wait a minute. Now I don't even know what it is. At 953, the score is for the station.
The station's handle is 953.
Did I absolutely say that wrong?
Your handle.
Folks, can I trust Nick?
Is at SportsTalk 953.
Wait. Yes, I can trust you. All right. I owe a buck.
We'll have to go back during the break to double back and listen to it, but I'm pretty sure you said...
Nah, you've pretty much batted 1,000. I could take your word for it, though I'd probably live to regret it.
Free dinner!
All right, for a buck, what are you eating?
Didn't say it was going to be a good dinner. It's
or
a
healthy
dinner.
One or an edible one.
I'm going to eat it.
Good luck in Parisian. Real quick on the NBA. The debut of Zion has been analyzed enough. Did he play ample minutes? Was he pulled too soon? Did he play too long? Here was the perfect barometer. I was talking with a friend this morning. This is how the sports talk mentality gets so focused and completely loses the big picture. My buddy says, I didn't watch the game. I was listening to the breakdown on ESPN, and then he asked me, who won the game? And I was like, so even the pros, the people who cover the NBA for ESPN, were so into the analytics and the questions surrounding one game, it's like they've neglected to say, well, did he win or lose? And as I speak right now, for those of you driving around, the Spurs played the Pelicans last night. It was Zion's debut. Do you have any idea who won the game? Do you?
I know I've got a 50-50 shot.
No, but I'm saying, do you know, or are you guessing?
Oh, jeez.
I think you just answered my question.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Yeah, they lost 121-117. But, dude, 22.7 rebounds. His first assist was sweet. So if you're facing the basket, he's to the right, and he's got the ball just off the baseline, and he sees Brandon Ingram cutting, zip. Dunk. It was beautiful. And he posted a +3, did turn it over 5 times. I say trade him now while he's got value. They'll host Denver tomorrow.
To be fair to everybody who wasn't talking about the result, there's really only so much you can talk about the rest of the game between two teams in the West that aren't in the playoff picture, and it's still kind of, you know, January.
I understand, but winning
the
and losing
only started
the game.
Like a couple weeks ago.
Did they draft him to get assists or win games? Or both?
Well, I think they did it to put butts in seats, which the stats that they showed at the start of the game, which is like 12,000 season tickets were bought once they got the number one pick. Like the sales the sales ticket office like had phones ringing off the hook for who knows how long when they're like, oh, we're going to get to see Zion probably 38 to 41 times a year at home. Yes, I would like to sign up for as many season tickets as I possibly can.
Yeah, well. Especially for a franchise that has known, in essence, limited success, and I'm probably being kind. Even, you know, New Orleans from the days of being the Jazz and the Hornets, now they're the Pelicans. You know, they're only 17 years old, and they've only made it out of the first round once, and that's going back a couple years ago when, you know, they still had AD. When they remember, they swept the Trailblazers, then got run by Golden State. So Anyway, yeah, 121, 117, in case you're ever on Sports Jeopardy and they're talking about Hall of Famer Zion Williamson. Did he win or lose his NBA debut?
Even the team he played against is probably going to be a trivia question. Who did LeBron play his first game against?
I have no idea.
Was it the Kings? I want to say the Kings.
The Cavs Kings?
Yeah.
In October 27th, 2003?
It was a random weird team.
Yeah, because 03 was the draft with LeBron, Darko Milicic 2, Carmelo 3, also Bosh, yeah. Wade. It was the Kings?
Sure was.
That's one of the best gets in the history of sports talk. And we're talking 26 years and 2 months. And when was the date?
October 29th.
Oh, almost, almost.
Yeah, wow.
All right, between us, we had that covered. You hit a homer. You touch them all, dude.
Yeah, I'm retiring.
Do the Costanza walk-off for sure.
What I was going to say is that my mom got me a Sports Jeopardy like daily calendar. You get the PL.
Right.
So they ask you, they give you the answer. You have to like quiz yourself as to what it's going to be. First 2 weeks of the year, I was rolling. I like didn't miss a question. They started off
this year?
Yeah, this year. It started with a
bunch of... Start bringing in the used ones. I could use them for State Farm.
Oh, well, that would be good. That's true.
A great idea.
There have been a couple the last couple of days. It started off strong. I got a lot of hockey topics. I was like, right. Oh, this is going to be the easiest thing. Like, it's Jeopardy questions. It's probably Jeopardy sports. Even those, like, I'm really good at. I might miss one or two here and there. Then all of a sudden, they went into auto racing.
Uh-oh.
They've gone into, like, the art
always
of sports.
Always answer AJ Foyt with four... Indy 500.
I haven't been on. I've been in the red for the last 2 weeks going into the final Jeopardy, which is basically every Sunday they have the final Jeopardy question.
Very cool.
So you get to wager what you've won during the week. I'm struggling, man. I'm minus 1800 on my Sports Jeopardy for the week.
All right, but bring in those used questions. Yeah. They still have value. Don't recycle them just yet. So the Blazers get back to work tonight. They're the back end of the TNT doubleheader. They host Dallas after Lillard set the franchise record for scoring that MLK Day shootout win over Golden State. But earlier in the show, I said, I have to put a moratorium on even mentioning Steph Curry. Now I can explain why. So Curry was on the All the Smoke podcast with former NBAer Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, and he told a story that made me consider going out and pricing wood chippers. So draft day 2009, Curry, when they still held the draft exclusively in New York, he was in the green room, and I didn't realize, I'd never heard this story. He was set to go eighth to the Knicks. But after Johnny Flynn, a total bust, went sixth to Minnesota, he got a call from the then Warriors general manager who said, by the way, we're taking you next at seven. The Knicks then landed. This might be the most, you know how we always say the most Mets, most Knicks, most Lions. This might be the most Knicks things ever. So they were going to draft Curry at a Davidson. He got plucked, and they took Jordan Hill from Arizona. He played 24 games with the Knicks, and they traded him to Houston for Tracy McGrady, who played 24 games with the Knicks before leaving as a free agent. So not only do they not get Curry, they draft a guy who they lose for nothing. It's unbelievable. McGrady, T-Mac, left as a free agent to Detroit. Now, of course, you're telling me the consensus wouldn't be if the Knicks had taken Curry, he would have forgotten how to shoot or Donnie Walsh would have made some moron deadline deal, and his career would have went sideways until he got out of that poison culture that Dolan has crafted. Yeah. But anyway, Back to Portland.
Actually, Steph Curry, with like his ankle injuries and his injury history and what he had to deal with the early years in Golden State, having to deal with that under the microscope of New York, he would have been tossed aside.
Retired.
Oh, yeah, he would have been, oh, he can't do it, he's a specialist, he's just another J.J. Redick, he's just a guy.
He's going to be a sixth man.
Right, yeah. We'll just have him come in the late moments of the game when we need a couple energetic threes off the bench. He can plug
he's
in
our
and
zone
start
buster.
Here and there. He might have a couple of weeks where you start to think, could he be the starter? I don't know, and we'll flip him for something. That's what he would have been in New York. And instead, he's one of the greatest players of all time.
Right. They're talking about, is he the greatest shooter? Is he a scorer? Has he changed the game? Now everybody's taking threes from 4 feet outside the line. So he seems like a very nice young man and a decent human being. So good for him. At this point, even though they're my boys, I wouldn't wish the Knicks on anybody. So remember, yesterday, our on-the-spot reporter, Josh, informed us that Yusuf Nurkic was practicing full tilt. Then Jason Quick of The Athletic updated what they call a full participation in practice. You see that a lot when you read a practice report leading up to NFL games. Limited, full, DNP, you know, all of those. So Nurk was a full participant, but they haven't, what's the best way to put it? They haven't timetabled him yet. So like we knew a few days ago that Zion Williamson was going to debut last night. We have not reached that point. They, for this evening's game, they did list Hassan Whiteside as probable, despite a pulled groin. Casey Haldahl, who works for the official Blazer site, also reported that CJ McCollum for tonight, you're coming with me, McCollum, is questionable with a bum ankle.
Tannenism.
And there are still, count them, you know, even though they're past the halfway point, there's still 11 games to go before they break for the All-Star game, which is in Philly this year. And the problem here is, the Trailblazers are, I wrote this down, 7 games under 500. And by the way, their schedule the next 2 weeks, there's no respite. They don't get one what you would call, well, they should win that game. I don't know if they're going to be favored in any of the next 6 games. It is an absolutely cutthroat segment of the schedule. I mean, tonight they play the Mavs, who are 27-6, right now tied for the 5 seed in the West, along with the obvious focal point of that team, the Don. Look at Doncic, never go against the family. They also have former Nick Porzingis, the Zinger, is back. Tim Hardaway, former Nick, has grown into a very good three-point shooter and supplemental scorer. They've got Seth Curry, Dorian Finney-Smith, good guy, dudes who could sting it from the outside. So, you know, on the road in the NBA, Dallas is a nice 5-point road chalk. Then Sunday, they play the Pacers, who, like Dallas, are the reigning 5 seed in the East, 29-16. Then they play Houston, who's 27-16. Then it's at the Lakers, who are the best team in the West right now, a week from Friday. Then Utah, who has moved past the other LA team into the current 2 seed. And then they go to Denver, who's 4th in the West. Those are their next 6 games. So 7 games under 500 could very easily turn to 11 games under 500. This is and they're not healthy. This is an interesting stretch for this team who's been talking about healing up and making a playoff run. Yeah, you might want to keep an eye out for these next 6 games, see if you can keep your head above water, or if you end up looking down at Minnesota. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I've been kind of contemplating this conundrum the Blazers are in for about the last month. You know, most seasons you would think, okay, Nurkic is out, Collins has got the bum, and Hood is out. Why don't you just tank the season and get a good draft pick? But from what I'm seeing is there's not really much talent in this upcoming year's draft.
There's no lock, lose, and get your franchise changer. I agree. Yeah. That's an interesting point.
So what do you do? You got, I mean, why? I mean, Nurkic is not, I mean, he was injured, what, last March or April?
Yeah.
He broke, I mean, that's less than a year ago, and that was a pretty serious injury. And Collins is coming back from surgery on his shoulder, and Hood's done for the year with Achilles. I mean, I just hate to see them rush players back for a season, you know, because what happens if Nurkic has a, you know, gets injured again? I'd rather see these guys get a good, lengthy healing process and maybe make a good run at next year's training camp and come out strong. I don't know.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the call, Mike. The thing with Nurkic, he was originally just outside the lottery. Remember, the Bulls picked him. And then he was a draft day trade because, remember, he landed in Denver. And that was it. So there was draft picks involved. Dougie McBuckets, Doug McDermott's. He signed a deal with the Nuggets, who then traded him at the deadline. This is coming up, 3 years ago for Mason Plumlee and a draft pick. That there was a pick from Memphis involved. And I don't know the early part of his career, if he was injured, because he played 62 games, then just 32. So then the year the Blazers got him, 2017, he had some injuries. And then last year, as they were making, not last year, the year before, 2018, his first full season with the Blazers, remember, he played 79 games. Then he was, you know, you wondering how about his durability. He got hurt with 10 games left in the stinking regular season last year when they would eventually make that crazy run all the way to the Western Conference Finals. So, I don't think that anybody is getting rushed back. The thing is, they talk, you know, when you hear tanking, that's kind of a media thing and an organizational thing. They may make a decision to not sign player X, kind of like what the Houston Astros did, kind of like what the Chicago Cubs did. They decided, look, we're just going to get the crap beat out of us, but we're going to build from within, we're going to draft, and we're going to construct a roster aimed at winning a title rather than sustaining and winning 87 games and occasionally getting run in the first round. But with the Blazers, Collins isn't getting rushed back. I read that they said early March, even though he's been out practicing. With Nurkic, while he's participating full on, I was reading in one of the Oregonian articles, I think, that don't expect that they would still be surprised if he saw game action before the All-Star break. So, no, if they consider Nurk and Collins an integral part of what they're trying to accomplish moving forward, you can bet they're not going to come back till A, they're 100% healthy, and B, the doctors say, yeah, they could play. They're not going to do any further damage. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. A quick shout out to our terrific triumvirate of pubs under the Tap and Growler, Public House Hub, and Beer Garden umbrella. Tap and Growler, the original 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, across from the 5th Street Public Market. Online, tapandgrowler.com, biggest tap list in town, 81 strong. And Beer Garden on the way heading west as you hit the Whitaker neighborhood. Beer Garden Me. BeerGardenMe.com online. You got the great food trucks. You got the outside hang that is enclosed and fenced in. And the newer member of the association is the Public House out on A Street in Springfield. If you haven't checked it out, it's really a unique, very distinct location. And it's in that part of town where they've really done a great job some years back, kind of a revitalization. Now a lot of thriving, really cool businesses, and online there also great food options and an outside hang. Publichousehub.com. So check them out And for Colby and the great folks over there, we really appreciate all their support. All right, break time is upon us. We'll do just that, and we'll come back with more sports talk and an update. 95.3, The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Not that I believe the Astros are suddenly going to come clean. Not that I believe that they're going to air out all the dirty laundry. But it's possible that he says something that is, I don't know, genuinely contritious and genuinely does something that is going to impress, not necessarily forgive, a certain amount of the things that happen. And, most Astros fans, at least, they've all just sort of said the same thing. Yeah, none of this is really going to matter. They kind of ruined it.
Clinton Yates of ESPN. On how the Astros have handled this so far. Ostrich, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Just, please go away, please go away, please go away, please go away. We didn't do anything wrong. We're not admitting anything, even though everybody found us guilty and everybody knows we cheated. Please let it go away. All right, say that all in one breath as we welcome you back to Sports Talk. Final half hour of the big program on a Thursday, getting you ready for... Duck basketball. We'll have the action right here, starting with our Jerry's Home Improvement Center pregame at 7 o'clock. And then at 7:30, it's all on Joey Mac and tip-off time. And again, if you're looking for the game on the tube, it is ESPNU with a terrific broadcast team of Roxy Bernstein and Adrian Branch calling it on the Entertainment, Sports, and Programming Network. You know, I wonder how many people, we're talking about we're going to start doing trivia again. If I said, what does ESPN stand for? Would you have gotten that easily off the top of your head? No. Huh.
I don't know. No, other than just ESPN, it's just those are the letters
I don't
you
think
say.
You're alone.
Sometimes you say ESPN.
Entertainment, Sports, and Programming Network.
Hmm. Programming is kind of the big part of it now, right?
Nice.
Entertainment and programming.
All right. You can send us a text, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter, at SportsTalk953 for me. For the station, it's at 953. The Score for Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. But we'd love to hear from you, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Ken Carman is a guy you probably hear weekends on CBS Sports Radio. He's got a full-time gig on 92.3 The Fan in Ohio, which is the flagship station of the Cleveland Browns.
You okay? You getting a little emotional?
Yeah. All right. I'm a little verklempt. Here's the poll he put out. Do you feel better, worse, or the same since the end of the Browns season? And I don't know why I felt obligated to vote like I give a crap. I casted a same vote because I guess I don't care about the Browns. I actually root for the Browns to be the Browns to make me sleep better at night, just knowing there's stability and things we could count on. So same led with 42%. 41% said better. So they're liars. 16% said worse. But in a poll like that, which really doesn't matter, you got to hang around for the responses and the comments. One guy just replied to Carmen, yes. So of the three, one guy, I think it was a guy, posted a GIF of Tony Soprano just saying, hey, what are you going to do? Then there was the video of Lucy pulling the ball as Charlie Brown tries to kick it.
Oh, that should be the Browns mascot.
Yeah. I thought that was spot the hell on.
That applies to so many teams in the NFL and also like the Seattle Mariners for like the last decade.
One of my favorite one was a reply, does Jimmy Haslam still own the team? ? And then they put, then always worse.
Ooh, ouch.
And another good one, Steve Carell. I forget what character he played in The Office, because I think that show's overrated. And it just was him saying, "I am dead inside." It was really funny. I tweeted it out, or go at Ken Carmen if you're in the mood for some mindless humor, which if you're listening to this, obviously you are. Now, one listener sent along a tweet today that are going to make some of you feel really old. So if you're a San Francisco Giants fan or an Anaheim Angels fan, when you think of that incredible 2002 World Series.
Rather not, Steve. Can we move on?
The only time the Halos made... You were too young. That doesn't even count in your
orbit. I was nine. I knew I should have been mad, but I didn't quite know why.
Nine is really when you turn the corner and start getting it. You're not just a fan. You're not just doing what dad does or something like that. It's like you have a favorite player. And like you said, I remember being nine and getting pissed off the Celtics beat the Knicks, Bill Russell's last year, when Sam Jones hit a shot off the wrong foot from the top of the key.
I think I was just young enough to that it happened. And I like enough other things were going on to where I could just move on to whatever else was happening. I was just like, they lost. I'm going to play video games now. Like, I hadn't.
You didn't linger on.
Yeah. I was just young enough to where I didn't know the history of them losing was a big deal. And I wasn't old enough to be like, that's the closest they're ever going to get in my life. I'm never going to see them do anything again.
Yeah, because if you go pre-2010. First of all, 2002 remains the only bright moment in Angels history.
Drafting Mike Trout might be number two.
Yeah, but it's great to watch him, but he's Don Mattingly at this point. They don't make the
play. That's why I said drafting him was number two.
Oh, all right. So for Frisco, it kept the streak of never winning the title alive, going back to a young Willie Mays, you know, the Dusty Rhodes series that upset and swept the 111-win Cleveland team all the way back in 1954. History had been cruel to the Giants. You had Willie McCovey lining out to Bobby Richardson at second base, ended Game 7 of the 1962 series against the Yankees. Then it took them another 27 years to get back. You know, they played the fuel-injected Bash Brothers with Dave Stewart. An earthquake happened, and they ended up getting swept. So then in 2002, the Giants were down 2-1 when the best of five series in the opening round. They beat the Braves in five. They dominated the Cardinals in the NLCS. And then remember, they were up 3-2 against Anaheim. And in Game 6... Oh, they blew a 5-0 lead. Then the rookie John Lackey started and beat him in Game 7 with the help of another rookie, Frankie Rod. Troy Percival closing the door. Troy Gloss, I think, was the MVP of that series. But what's really the true kind of memorable moment in that World Series? The comeback? Nope. The stupid rally monkey.
Oh, I hate the rally monkey.
Nope. Bonds not choking in the playoffs for the first time in his career after tanking three times with the Pirates and the first two with the Giants.
Barry Bonds hit a baseball off of the scoreboard in right field at Angel Stadium, and I forgot who the pitcher was or the player. I want to say it was Tim Salmon. They cut to him in the dugout, and he mouths, "That's the farthest baseball I've ever seen hit."
Yeah, the thing was, but before that, in 1991-2 with the Pirates, Bonds hit like 190. Yeah. Then he tanked with the Giants, and he didn't play that well in the first two series, but he went berserk in the World Series. He hit four homers, hit 471. I actually looked up the numbers. But think of this. Game 5, play at the plate, San Francisco first baseman JT Snow saving little Darren Baker.
JT Snow was one of my favorite Giants growing up.
He's one of the best defensive first basemen I've ever seen. He's up there with Hernandez and Mattingly. I mean, just studs.
That infield, when it was Snow, Jeff Kent, Rich Aurelia, and then just whoever they had at third. But basically, from shortstop to first, those three guys were my favorite players ever.
All right. I'll allow that.
Thank you.
So then Darren Baker was but a wee bairn. He was the manager's son and bat boy. So Lofton was up, hit a rocket into right field. JT Snow was on base. He crossed the plate easy. And then David Bell was coming around third. And Darren Baker, the little guy, was wandering towards home plate. And JT Snow picked him up by his Giants jacket. Okay, how does time fly? A listener informed me today that Darren Baker is now an all preseason Pac-12 pick playing baseball for Cal. And last year, he was as a sophomore, he was all conference defense at shortstop. And he was a little guy. He was three, something like that.
He was just old enough to, like, competently walk on his own without falling over. And that
was... Pick up a bat.
Yeah, like, literally at the time, like, kids were, if you're young enough, if you're the son of a coach, of a player, whatever, you can totally be a bat boy. And after that, they had to change the rules to be like, no, they've got to be old enough to know when they can and cannot go get the bat because we can't have this happening on a regular basis.
By the way, verification, it was Tim Sockeye Salmon. So, well played there. But, Darren Baker is a sure-handed shortstop playing at Cal for Dot Bears. So, that's absolutely something to keep an eye out for. I'll tell you that much. Because 2002, blink of an eye, by the way. Eye for an eye and an eye for a blink. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. This much-anticipated matchup on ESPN between the two true blue bloods in the history of women's basketball taking place at Storrs. UConn has now gained the upper hand and are on the verge of icing this, even though the Huskies missed the layup. UConn up 54-52 5 minutes ago in the ballgame. The Vols, since Coach Summit walked away and then passed, I mean, they have been basically a shell of themselves, where UConn, of course, had the disaster this year. They started the preseason poll at 7, the unthinkable, oh my God. And then they climbed all the way back to number 1, got beat, and now they're number 3. Taking on UT, who has found its way back into the national rankings at 23. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Wanted to get to more college hoops, of course. We'll talk much more about that when we hit you with our pregame show in a little more than an hour. Another story that was reported on yesterday. I'll be honest, I never heard of the man, but his name is Morgan Wooten, and he coached DeMatha Catholic High in Maryland for 46 years. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, this is really strange. It said he won 5 national championships in high school? I didn't realize that was a thing. Do they have multiples? I mean, he actually got inducted into not the local, not the regional, not the high school, the Naismith Hall of Fame in 2000. Only 2 other high school coaches have done that. And it's amazing. He goes back so far. His team ended the Power Memorial 71-game winning streak in 1965. The center for Power Memorial was Kareem. I mean, he dates back that far. And I was thinking, 46 years on the job. That is unbelievable. Produced more than a dozen players. Adrian Dantley, who is a Hall of Famer. Danny Ferry, who was a great Dookie, one of the best big men shooters I ever saw. And he also had, a lot of coaches play for him, like current Notre Dame co Mike Bray. And I was trying to think who could have a longer tenure on one job. The guy who came to my mind was Eddie Robinson, the Hall of Fame coach who spent 54 years as the football coach at Grambling. 54 years. It's like, what do you do for a living? I coach Grambling. It's like, that's it. End of list. All right, let's take our final break. When we return, we will have the tweet of the day and then wrap it up on a Thursday. Get ready for a whole bunch of hoops coming at you next. 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
That intro of Phil Dunphy from Modern Family reading everything off reminded me in, I don't know if it was this week's, it was the latest episode of Modern Family. He does something very similar with three new phrases, and it was just very funny. I thought of this segment that I have to do every day. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Brosford Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to chill. Yeah, here we go. At EDSBS, one of the favorites around here, every day should be Sunday or Saturday. Why I think Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame, it's a picture. Steve, describe the picture.
Oh, my God. Eli Manning, off-season, lots of cheeseburgers, no workout, making the weirdest sandcastle ever. Is that accurate?
It's yeah, it's what you would imagine Eli Manning in a swimsuit would look like. Farmer's tan, Manning face going on, awkwardly, yeah, trying to build the sandcastle. It's just, maybe that's, yeah, you know what? Maybe put him in the Hall of Fame for that. Mark Emmert is doing a press conference today about college sports and in general about what's going on. There's a quote, "We have to be clear about one thing, that college sports is about students playing other students. That's what people love about college sports." At Celebrity Hot Tub tweeted, "It's true. I love to watch the quarterback throw a touchdown pass and yell, I wonder what his electives are."
Wow.
Yeah. Oof, Mark Emmert, man. Not good.
He should be pushed into something.
Or off of something. Again, thrown into
three stairs.
Thrown into a pier. Thrown off a pier into some water.
Like it's, they want with Goodell on the next NFL draft.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Yeah, not an injury, just a humiliation.
Knocked into a pool of water with your wallet and your phone in your pocket.
Pushed backwards, not knowing it's there. Just
with
wandering.
The tabletop?
So involved with your phone, he's near the edge of the water, doesn't realize there. Somebody just goes, push, and he's in.
The Wile E. Coyote thing where he just kind of walks off the edge, he's floating in the air. He doesn't fall until he realizes that
right.
He's falling. Exactly.
And there's the puff of smoke.
Make it happen. Our tweet of the day comes from Matt Preem at Matt Preem. He quote tweeted a tweet that has an article about the Mariners moving forward, and it's titled "Wait Until Next Year." And at Matt Preem tweeting, "Wait till next year" has been the Mariners slogan for the last decade.
No, it hasn't. It's always been. There's never been a this year. You got to make the World Series to have a this year. It's been since 1976.
It's like more like this century. They haven't made the playoffs since 01? Yeah, boy. But that's the thing is about the Mariners is like the wait till next year always comes like in the second to last or like midway through September and you're like, "Okay, next year we've had the good season. This is a good building block. We're going to build on this." Then it's next. You never get the next year is coming in January. So thanks to at Matt Preem for the refreshing tweet of the day. Follow the station at 953 The Score, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all the same thing. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, and Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it.
You know, we haven't mentioned this week, because the news hit over the weekend, that Felix Hernandez left. He's with the Braves now. They invited him to, it's one of those minor league deals. But, you know, he's been with the Mariners since 2005. You know, he's a late call-up, made 12 starts, and, you know, flashed for sure. And the bottom line with Hernandez, he hasn't really been an effective starter since middle of 2016. I mean, 2017 injuries cut his season in half. His ERA for the first time was well into the fours, 4.4 in 2018. Of course, the year before last was a disaster where they actually, remember, they yanked him from the rotation, but then somebody got hurt and he got put back in the rotation, which didn't help anybody. He fell in, you know, he's a guy who it's not strictly about the numbers. It's about the analytics. And by that, I mean, guys don't swing and miss against him like they used to. He does not have command. I mean, his whip in 2018, 1.4 is BAD bad. You know, more than a walk every 2.5 innings, more than a hit an inning, you know, gave up 100 earned runs. His ERA was 5.6. And then, of course, last year was just an unmitigated disaster on so many levels where his last year with the Mariners, that's 1-8 with a 6.4 ERA. And, you know, if you add up the walks and hits, you've got 111 over 71 innings. I mean, this is a guy who during his prime was under 1 an inning when he was runner-up to the Cy Young in 2014, when he won his Cy Young in 2010, even though he had a winning percentage of just a game over 500 because they stink and had no offense. His ERA won the title. As a matter of fact, he was really close to winning the ERA. He did lead the league in innings pitched and strikeouts with 232. But the Braves take a flyer on him. And going from the American League to the National League traditionally is somewhat beneficial for a pitcher. But, you know, now you're at the point where, when does he turn, you know, 34 years old, April 8th. So, in essence, the season starts, he has a birthday, and pitches at that age. So, he'll be 34 years old when, in essence, as 2020 gets underway. And, of course, he hasn't had a whiff. He has zero playoff appearances. And, you know, one of the most beloved Pacific Northwest athletes of the past quarter century, you know, up there with Griffey Jr. and Damian Lillard, and obviously he's on that list. And, you know, Jr. in essence really had the 1 year to shine in the postseason when they beat the Yankees in 1995. I mean, aside from that, when did he leave for the Cincinnati? After the 99 season. So for Griffey, that was 95. He was, you know, the year they got run in the divisional series by the Orioles in 97, he stunk it up. He hit 133. I mean, you remember what he did to the Yankees in that divisional series. In five games, he hit five homers. And then he got in with the White Sox in 2008 near the tail end of his career. And, you know, he batted 200. So the bottom line is, you know, Lillard had his Western Conference final. He made a Final Four, which is an accomplishment. But you wonder, at a certain point, as much as he loves Portland and those feelings are absolutely reciprocal, if he's going to get to a point as he turns 30 next year where he's going to be like, I really would like to play, you know, for a contender, because as great of a season as Portland had last year, A, they didn't get to the finals, B, they didn't get close to the finals because the Warriors worked them in the West Finals. All right, we're about ready to bust out of here, but I'll be back in 1 hour and 4 minutes to start our Jerry's Home Improvement Center pregame show, getting all of you ready for the big one at MKA this evening with USC in town. So strap yourselves in. It's been a kind of a long day, but it's going to be a fun night. So thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you on tomorrow for Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.